Dr. Nick Ashill is a Kiwi ultra marathon runner. He's a father of four daughters, originally from Wellington, but he's lived in the United Arab Emirates for the past decade or so and is a professor of management at the American University of Sharjah. Nick Ashill was left for dead after being hit by a ute while running across America just under 2 years ago. He's in New Zealand. He's just out of quarantine. He's going to finish his 5,000-kilometre cross-country journey next year. I'll ask him that, but I think the pandemic foiled a second attempt by him to do that last month. Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you for the invite. It's a pleasure to be here.
How was quarantine?
The 2 week experience was phenomenal. The staff at the Ridges Hotel were wonderful. It was really well organized, and I'm very, very grateful to obviously have a negative test before leaving.
I was going to ask
you
that.
It's really, really nice to be back to some normality now.
Hard for a man with restless legs, I would think, though, that quarantine. Yeah,
it was difficult. I was able to book in a 30-minute run every day using the Ridges run ramp, which goes down to the side of the hotel, and that was really, really nice. So I was pounded some concrete for 30 minutes a day, which allowed me to do about 6 kilometres, which is great.
Okay, because there was a temporary ban on outside exercise for Kiwis isolating at some of the hotels. And that would have impacted. I mean, everything impacts on your training, obviously. You must have to train a lot.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, for the first 6 months after the accident in August 2017, it was a question of getting back on my feet and learning to walk again. And then the running came slowly, very, very slowly, about 15, 16 months after that. And then having further surgeries to remove some hardware, it's allowed me to increase the mileage that I can now do. So, but COVID-19 has had a huge impact on the mileage that I can put in, but hopefully I'll be able to get back out into the Auckland and Wellington streets soon and do some big Ks.
There's been a huge impact on your life in the last 2 years. So struck down by a pickup truck when you were nearly 4,000 Ks through a 5,000-kilometre run across the US. Before we get to that day, what drove you to do that in the first place?
I'd always had a fascination with Route 66. Much of America historically has been built on that road. And rather than drive it, which most people do, I decided to run it. But the real catalyst was two things. One was to push myself mentally and physically. And the second thing, as a result of the death of my mum in 2015, I wanted to embark on a journey to raise further awareness of a horrible disease of the lungs known as pulmonary fibrosis.
Yeah.
There are around 30 to 40,000 people in the UK who live with this disease. That's where she lived. Around 6,000, 7,000 people die each year. It's approximately 200,000 people who live in America with the disease, and there's no cure. If you're young enough, you might be fortunate enough to take advantage of a lung transplant, but very, very few people are in a position to do that. So it was an opportunity to link up with a particular charity in the United Kingdom called the Pulmonary Fibrosis Trust, which do phenomenal work with people who live with the disease on a daily basis.
Yeah, you were running for a great cause. What do you remember about August the 2nd, 2017? Can you tell us what happened?
It was a normal day, getting up, having protein shake, getting out of the RV at around 6:30 in the morning and starting on a 50, 55-kilometre journey. That was the typical objective each day. So I left the RV and around 10 past 8 in the morning, I was on US Highway 40 near a small town in rural Ohio called West Jefferson. So I was running into the traffic. It was a dual carriageway. No other cars on the road at that time. Saw a dark-coloured pickup truck on the outer lane. Kept on running. This was probably 200 metres in front of me. That dark-coloured pickup truck moved from the outer lane to the inner lane. didn't think anything of that. And then with 30, 50 metres out, that truck came off onto the hard shoulder. And I knew at that point I was in danger of being hit. So I made the decision to jump a small metal railing on my left-hand side, which I'm glad that I did. But I didn't jump far enough or quickly enough, and I got slammed on my right side. So thrown into a ditch, realized what had happened, hoping the vehicle might have stopped. It didn't. And then the story began to unfold. At the time I was hit, I was on a Skype call with my wife Sarah and my daughters at the time. So my cell phone was in my pocket, my earphones were in. Fortunately, I was hit, the cell phone had left my pack, but it was still operational. So my wife and daughters heard the screams, but my phone was still working. And it was then at that point that my wife's experience with, given her nursing background, she was then able to essentially keep me conscious until the phone died at around 30, 35 minutes later. And then with her experience and her phenomenal bravery, she was able to inform the state troopers in America and obviously the support crew, which are around 20 kilometers away from me.
But she was 9,000 kilometers away.
She was.
That's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. So she is, you know, clearly responsible for saving my life.
Yeah.
I was found by state troopers around 50, 55 minutes later.
You were found with smashed up with the bones sticking out. And presumably, although you'd tried to stand up and your pelvis was smashed, was the pain immediate or were you just in severe shock? What was it like?
Yeah, it's a great question. Looking back, and I've journaled this, you know, every single day of my recovery, I didn't feel any pain. So I guess I was in a complete state of shock at the time. You're right. I tried to crawl out of the ditch at around 30, 35 minutes later when the phone died, thinking that the only way I'm really going to get out of here is to actually get visible at the side of the road so somebody would stop. But I was unable to move. I really had no idea of the state of my injuries at the time.
If you were getting over a little fence and the ute clipped you as you went over and was that close to the fence and then carried on, didn't crash, it was deliberate?
Yeah, there's not a day that goes by that I don't still ask, even over 2 years on, ask the same question. And the answer is, I don't know. But when you're lying on your back for 3 months, you learn a lot about that part of rural Ohio. It has one of the highest opiate rates in the country. It may have been a drug-related issue. It could have been alcohol involved, or it could be somebody, sadly, that had a dislike for somebody running on the hard shoulder. The answer is I really don't know. But what I do know is that the car moved from the outer lane to the inner lane to the hard shoulder with no other vehicles on the road.
If you hadn't been on that call to Sarah and your daughters, would you have died?
I would think there was a very, very high likelihood of that happening.
Because you wouldn't be lying on the road; you'd be lying on the other side of the fence, wouldn't you?
That's right. And I was in a ditch that wasn't visible from the roadside. Correct.
What a thing to happen! And doctors told you you'd be lucky to walk again, let alone run. So how have you climbed back?
Well, you realize very early on, even though you have some phenomenal surgeons that put you back together, and some phenomenal physiotherapists that get you up on your feet for the first time and work on the incredible muscle wastage that happens to a human body over 3 months, you still come to the point that the only way to climb out and get back to some form of normality is you. So it's been a huge emotional roller coaster over the last couple of years, you know, working through some of the big demons that have resided in my head. I can remember the first time I tried to run. That was approximately 11 months after the accident, and I took a couple of paces and I fell over. Mm. And the emotion just drained out of me. I remember I cried.
Yeah, I bet.
Thinking that this is never really, really going to happen. But slowly over time, working on myself mentally and my mental well-being, and pushing myself physically with the right support network through a personal physical trainer. And professional counselling as well. I've been able to, to get back to the place I'm at now, where I can run, 30 kilometres, quite easily.
It's a triumph of courage and determination. But there was also the small matter, apart from the mental struggle, which we can only guess at, unless we've been through a similar experience. Doctors found an infection in your leg, which spread too. It wasn't just the recovery from that; it was the complications that afterwards as well.
And again, this is where the experience and love of Sarah really does shine through in a very big way. She was the one in Ohio State University Hospital where I was staying that was able to pick up that my body, there was something wrong with my body. I was fighting an infection and I wasn't fighting that infection very, very well. And you're right, fragments of bone from my pelvis had pierced my bowel and I developed a huge infection. Mm. And I remember, months later, Sarah telling me a story where she had to sign a form to amputate my left leg. Fortunately, that didn't happen, and the surgeons won that story. So this is another case of her not just saving my life on one occasion, but saving my life on a second occasion. And that's, how do you say thank you to somebody like that?
Yeah. Well, you're in New Zealand. Dr. Nick Ashill is with us. You're in New Zealand to, not so much say thank you, but to see the family. You're visiting, yeah?
I am. I'm staying with a dear friend, my best mate Greg, for a couple of days, and then I'm travelling down to Wellington to see my daughters, and I'm hoping that that I'll interview for a new position here.
Oh, okay.
and move back.
So you might run back home eventually.
That would be lovely. Yeah, but I've certainly the dream to return to America. It was going to happen this year. The support crew were already in place, but I made the decision late February, which was the right decision to postpone.
You will head back to complete the remaining 922 kilometres of your journey. Will you start off from the spot where you were hit by the ute?
The answer is yes. I've definitely made that decision. Over the last 12 months, I've made numerous presentations on mental well-being and mental health, particularly in men that have gone through trauma. And I remember one question being asked to me was, are you planning to go right back to the beginning from Los Angeles?
No, and
the answer was no thanks. I thought about it, but I don't think my body would be capable of doing that anymore. And I think it would have more meaning if I started from the same spot that I was hit in 2nd of August 2017.
That'll be a moment, won't it?
It will. It will. I don't know quite how I will feel when I pass that ditch, but I think I will just probably won't look. I think I'll just smile and just run on.
They tried hard to find the driver.
They did.
Unsuccessfully.
So the state troopers, the case was essentially closed 12 months after because of no further lead. So nobody came forward. There were a few bits off the vehicle.
He had lost a wing mirror.
A wing mirror, but they were not successfully able to track it down to any particular pickup truck in Ohio. So, yeah. So the case is now closed.
Just too many similar vehicles.
Very likely, yeah.
Some doctors will be running part of the rest of the way with you. Tell us why.
I call them the three amigos. These are the three individuals that put me back together. The three doctors from orthopedics, plastics, and trauma. So these three individuals have agreed to be there at the start line with me when I complete the run. So I'm very, very excited about that.
That'll be emotional too. What a thing in your life. And just out of interest, in case I forget to ask you at the end, can people donate money to the Pulmonary Fibrosis Trust over the rest of your journey as well? Can you, it's a good cause. Can they still donate to that?
Yeah, they certainly can. They can do that if they just Google Pulmonary Fibrosis Trust. This is a UK-based charity. That will take you to a link where you can actually donate, and part of my story is illustrated on that website as well. There's a Facebook page as well, which outlines the story and also a link.
And where else will you run? Are you going to keep running after you've completed this journey?
Clearly the answer is yes to that question. I think running is very, very much part of who I am and my own mental well-being. I'm a professor of marketing, and you know, I do a lot of academic research, and a lot of my research ideas are really generated from the time that I'm out running. So I find it very, very therapeutic, as well as taking good care of both my mind and body.
Gee, I mean, I think your finest run has been getting back to the state where you're in physically and mentally in order to be able to look ahead and plan those next adventures of yours. Do you ever look back and think, actually, I did this. I recovered from this terrible, shocking incident, and I'm here?
You know, often you have to be reminded about that by other people. When you're living it, you make small incremental changes each day to your life, and often you don't see those. So when you're reminded from other people about the progress that's actually being made or you have made, you know, that's very, very powerful. And you know, I'm so honored and humbled to have so much support. You know, I remember Sarah and her cousin Janet setting up a crowdsourcing funding page here, where Kiwis did donate, which you know, allowed us to keep going financially in Columbus, Ohio, where that city became home for such a long time. So many people have donated generously, either financially or emotionally. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, bless them, because the medical cost was something around $500,000, wasn't it?
The final bill was over $1.2 million US dollars.
I didn't know it was quite as high as
but,
that.
But I know that there was some negotiation between the hospital and the insurance company.
Gee, that's a lot of money. But that doesn't matter now, because you're fit and well again, and there's a long and happy, hopefully, road ahead. And
thank you.
Gee, it'll be amazing when you go back, and we can expect the book after that, can we?
You can.
Professor Nick Ashall, lovely to talk with you, and thank you so much for dropping in.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for the opportunity to share my story. Thank you.